Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Romans and chapter number 7. Have you ever read something or heard someone make a statement? And it so spoke to you, it resonated as to how you felt and who you are. It just gripped you. You ever had that happen? So much so that you felt like that you could have said that. Now you didn't say it, but you felt like, man, that's me. That's who I am. That's where I am. I feel like I could have said that. I'm thinking about four or five things in the scripture of late that have spoken to me so deeply. Now, I believe all the Bible. And I preach everything in there he lays on my heart to preach. But there's four or five things of which I read that it's so much me that I felt like that I could have said that. I want to look at four, maybe five of them. The whole Bible is real to us, but I'm going to tell you something. This, the part of Scripture that speaks to you as to who you are can help you the most. And if I had a little title for this, it's just a thought. It would be this: I feel like I could have said that. I want to begin with the Apostle Paul, with the three times he used the I am in reference to himself. There are some things that he said that, and there's a reason, I'll give you the reason why these leaped out at me, that I felt like that I could have said. Now there's a whole lot that Paul said that I do not feel like I could say. I thought about where he said, "In whatsoever state I am in, I've learned to be content." I don't feel like I could say that. And then I thought about where he said, "I wish myself accursed from Christ, from my kinsmen in the flesh." I can't even comprehend that. And also he said, "I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Finish my course." Well, I'm not gotten to that place yet, to where I could have said it. But yet there are some things of which he has said, or he did say, that it's me. And I want to express them to you. The first one is in Romans 7, verse 24, verse you know well. He begins this verse with a one-letter word that expresses deep emotion. It is almost a sigh or a moan, an exasperation. He's reaching down to the... You can go no lower than you can go in your spirit with this word. And notice what he says, a moan, a sigh. "Wretched man that I am." I feel like I could have said that. Other things that he said that couple up with that. He's the chiefest of sinners, the least of the saints. He could have no confidence in the flesh. And he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But he's not the only one that ever felt this way when he cried out. I thought about Isaiah in the presence of God when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Oh, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I thought about Daniel in the presence of the revelations of God. He said, from my comeliness was turned into corruption. I felt like I could have said that. When I think of what I was when he saved me, the wretchedness of who I was, and how far down he had to come to deliver me. I can never think of that moment but what I cry out, oh, wretched man that I was. But even beyond that point, from the time of salvation, progressing to this hour, when I think of my pride and my arrogancy, my jealousy and my envy, when I think of my coldness of heart and my lack of love, my ingratitude and unthankfulness, so many times I find myself saying, oh God, deliver me from this body. Oh, wretched man that I am. Undone, as Paul is expressing. But when I think of the potential of what I could have become, that lie within the heart of man, the evil, when I think about how that in myself, as he said, there dwelleth no good thing, how many times have I had to cry out what he said, oh, wretched man that I am. I believe that once a man repents, he never gets over that spirit of repentance. It lives in him. There'll never be an hour in which you do not feel unworthy of his deliverance and how that he has saved you from yourself. Thank you, Lord. I, as the Apostle Paul, speak from the heart when I say I never step into the house of God but what I do not feel as if I am the least of the saints. I am not looking down on you. I am looking up. And I never stand behind this sacred desk, but what I feel the utmost unworthiness to proclaim the Word of God. I often say, and I say it again, if you knew me like I have known myself over the years, you may not want to hear me preach. But if I knew you, like you know you, I might get my Bible and run. But don't we all cry out and say, oh, wretched person, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, lest you think too lowly of me, lest I express to you something that would make you think that I am wretched. Let me just say this. Oh, wretched man that I am. I cannot elevate myself in your presence because I feel as though I am a wretched soul in light of all that he has done for me. The songwriter said, my sins, they are many, my virtues are few. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. My biggest battles are not outside of me, but they are inside. I could cry out. I feel like, I know the Holy Ghost put it in Paul to write it in reality, but I feel like I could have said that. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I don't want to leave us there. I'm talking about different things. Paul used that I am there. Oh, wretched man that I am. I was talking not along this subject, but I was talking to a dear saintly lady that I've known in another church. And I mean, the little short lady in her 80s and everything like that. And she said, I feel like I'm the vilest of sinners. It's amazing how the Holy Ghost, and by the way, this is a revelation. You don't come to this conclusion on your own. For God to help us, God must show us and let us live in the reality of who we are. It is a heavenly revelation. As it was with Paul. Oh, wretched man that not you are, they are. But he said that I am. And honey, when you understand that, you don't have a lot of time to sit around and talk about other folks. Because you know you're the least of the least. But the second thing that he says is in 1 Corinthians that I'm talking about that it so is me that I feel like I could have said it is in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. He breathes out, oh wretched man that I am, and then he comes to this verse. And this verse so envelops me and who I am. He says, but, now couple these two together since we're looking at him. He said, oh wretched man that I am, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. That takes us from the rock bottom depths of an oh, as to who we are, to the highest of the highest of the highest of who he is in his grace. Because truth of the matter is, the only way you can take that and make it that is by the grace of God. The only way that you can take who you are and make it worthy to serve God is by the grace of God. And everything that I am, from top to bottom, front to back, inside to outside, is nothing but God's grace. Nothing good can I say about who I am, but all I want you to know as we have sung this morning in all of those songs, there is an endless praise for what God has done for us. But I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. You see, our salvation is by grace. Our sanctification is by grace. Our service is by grace. Everything is totally, when it's all said and done, the only thing we can say is it's all of grace, as Brother Tom Hayes said, is my story. But that's the story of every child of God, saturated with the grace of God. Where would you be had God in His mercy not delivered you and protected you and brought you to where you are? Now, I've preached here enough for y'all to know how I was raised, and of course had no raising as far as any kind of morality or spiritually or religious, no Bible, no church, no nothing. And everybody has their experiences in this matter of God saving them. Yours is the way God did it for you through the gospel. Mine is the way God did it for me. But I was saved as a young boy, 14 years old, but I had no foundation. I had no teaching. I had no root. No seed as far as the scripture is concerned. And not long after I got saved, I went back to West Virginia and, of course, got with some of the old boys that were back there. And initially I began witnessing to them and things like that. But you know how that goes, that pull. And there were two occasions in which a circumstance came about that so appealed to me that I voluntarily wanted to get involved in it. It's the only way I can word it. It's something that appealed to this flesh. And there's no one around to say don't or stay away from that or whatever. And I would have done both of those things. I would have engaged. Matter of fact, I wanted to engage. I was headed in that direction to engage. And I didn't understand it then. But God Almighty so shut it down that I couldn't if I had wanted to. And I'm just talking about the setting was there, but it was gone. I can't explain it to you right now. But he took it all away. But had I done either one of those things when I was thinking about doing them, I probably wouldn't be here right now. That's how massive it was. That the Lord, as I look back and how many times I have wiped the sweat on my brow and bowed and said, oh God, thank you for your grace, because I saw what I wanted to do and was going to do, and it was there to be done. And then it was gone. Almost miraculous. Gone. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised to find out how much God's grace has saved us from ourselves. Not so much others, but from ourselves. So much so that we must cry out. That's why we sing these songs of grace and we preach these messages of grace and we talk about grace, is because we know as we look back over the trail that it was all, every step of the way, it was all the grace of God. So, Paul said it. The Holy Ghost let him say it. Oh, wretched man that I am. I feel like that is me. But I am what I am. I'm not living in the hopeless and despair of that. I'm living in the reality of what the grace of God has done in my heart to elevate me for Christ's sake. I am what I am. Totally. By the grace of God. I felt like I could have said that. It's so real. I thought, man, I could have said that. Now, I want to skip over. And this is where the thought of I could have said that just became real to me. This year, now y'all not going to believe this, but I'm not lying. I turned 70. I know I don't look it, but I turned 70 years old. I told my wife, Esther, sitting here, I said, well, should I present myself to the churches a little different since I've matured? She said, probably. She said, first of all, don't tell no lot of jokes and things of that nature, and don't try to be smart and intelligent. I said, what do you want me to do? She said, be yourself. So that's what I've started trying to do. And that's not too hard. But I was thinking about David, and David was 70 years old when he passed away. And he made this statement in Psalm 37, verse 25. I have been young, and now am old. Now, I don't ever tinker with the Word of God, but if I was to do that, I would say I'm now older. Because you can be older and not old. But he said, I have been young, I am now old. 70 years old when he died. The next statement. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I thought of that when I turned 70. I have quoted David on many occasions in this verse, to encourage hearts how God takes care of his own. But then I came across that verse, and it leaped out at me after my birthday, 70. I said, well, you know, I'm the same age as David was when he died. And I read that verse, and I said to myself, you know, I could have said that. I feel like I could. Now, David said it, the Holy Ghost gave it to him, but I feel like I could have said that. Now, I couldn't say that at 30 years old. Now, I could preach it and say it's the truth, but I didn't experience it. I couldn't have said that at 40 years old, 50 years old. Hey, but I'm 70 years old, same age as David, and I want to report to you, for those that are young, that I was once young, but now I'm older. I can say this. I have yet to see the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Now I would ask those that are here that are 70 or older, do you know anybody? That when you talk to them, they say the worst thing I did is when I got right with God. The Lord has so disappointed me. But I could tell you many, 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 many that are just on the other side of that. And as a matter of fact, I was preaching and using this thought, and there was a man sitting where Brother Lester is. He was almost 90 years old. I just had that thought in my mind, and I threw my hands up in the air. I said, I'm trying to think of one who told me that the Lord had done him wrong. And I looked into his eyes. He's 90 years old. He threw his hands up, and he said, don't ask me. I said, hallelujah! But I'm here to tell you, here's one, 70 years old, I have yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. And I wonder how many of us sitting here this morning could say the same thing. God has been so good to me. And as I look back from 14 years old to 70, the blessings of God on every level have been innumerable. So much so when David says that, it's something that so grabs me, and I say, oh my, I I feel like I could have said what Paul said, oh wretched man that I am. I feel like I could have said what Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I feel like I could have said, and I can say, what David said, I'm yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Boy, aren't you glad you can take that truth to everybody, to let them know what you've experienced in Christ and what the Word of God says is so. Now, the last one that I'll emphasize, you know it well also, is in the book of Mark, chapter number 9, verse 23-24. You remember when the disciples were with this father who had a son that was possessed. He would cast himself into the fire and into the water, trying to cause him to self-destruct. The disciples couldn't help him. And so Jesus comes, and it is there that he is told about the circumstances. And Jesus said to him, he wants to know if Jesus can heal this boy. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now I'm talking about this matter of some things in the Word of God that will just so grip you that you just feel like you could have said it. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. But help thou mine unbelief. Isn't it amazing how believing we are at times and then unbelieving at other times? This is not just this man's experience, but if you'll go through the scriptures, you'll find those great figures of the Bible had this same experience. Elijah, so believing he could pray fire out of heaven, and then so unbelieving that he would run from Jezebel and pray to die. Or that Moses being so believing at times and yet so unbelieving. Abraham so believing. And yet at times in his life, especially in dealing with his wife down in Egypt, he's so unbelieving. John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus and saw the Spirit descend on him, is in prison, sends his disciples and go see if he's really the one. It's that part of human nature that struggles to believe, but yet does believe. I believe, he said, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. But you know what the Lord did? He touched the boy. Because the man spoke out of the honesty of his heart. That's all God wants from you. He don't want you to come pleading perfection. He understands your weaknesses. All he wants is who you really are. And he'll bring you to that. He wants you to know who you are, because that's the only way you can find out who he really is. When you see and realize your wretchedness and unworthiness, from that point of view, you can see and realize the greatness of his love and his mercy and his grace. It has to come together. Both are a revelation, but one can't be without the other. Oh, you know, it would not have been possible, I know. I would not have been worthy, but I'd love to have been there with Paul when he's writing to the Romans, and maybe we're just sitting around fellowshipping a little bit, and he says to me, Brother Dana, let me tell you what I'm thinking about writing to the Romans. I want you to hear it. And when he would say to me, I'm going to tell him, here's what I'm writing. Oh, wretched man that I am. I think I would have fell out on my knees and hugged him and said, Paul, that's me. Or when he said, can I share with you what I'm going to write to the Corinthians on another occasion? I said, well, what are you going to write to the Corinthians? He said, I'm going to write to the Corinthians that I am what I am. By the grace of God, I'd have hugged his neck and said, Paul, man, I couldn't have worded it that way, but I feel like I could have said it. David in that bed looking at him, drawing his last breath, and he said, here, preachers, what I've got on my heart, I've yet to see the righteous forsaken or receive begging bread. I was once young, now old. I just said, Dave, you won't have to worry about that being preached. I'll preach that. Those truths in the Bible that you come across them and they just, that's exactly who I am. Aren't you glad that God has a way of turning the lights on within us to see both sides of this thing. Could have said that. Those parts of the Word of God that just settle right in on you. And you not only believe it's the Word of God, but you're living it. And it is real to you.